Chapter 28. Chief Forster, in his crisp brown uniform, perfectly shined black shoes and trooper-style hat, walked up to Jesse with his right hand extended. "Chief Stone, good to see you in our fair town." Jesse shook his hand. "Good to be here, Brad." Jesse didn't necessarily dislike Forster. He just didn't think much of him as a cop. He was more a politician than a policeman. That was okay most of the time. Swan Harbor wasn't exactly crime central, and the citizens liked having a man who looked like a Macy's window mannequin as their top cop. It suited the town's image. Problem was that when real crime reared its head, Forster was about as effective as a mannequin. That's why it had always wound up in Healy's lap, and now Lundquist's. "Anything I can help you with?" Forster asked. "Not really," Jesse shrugged, keeping his eyes on the man who'd gotten out of the cream-colored Escalade. "Is that Mr. Garrison there?"
"That's right," said the red-faced man, his voice less than friendly. "What are you doing, cutting into my men's work? I've got a business to run."
Garrison looked the part. He may have been driving a Cadillac, but he was dressed much like his men. Company sweatshirt, jeans, and boots. His was a weathered face, wind-chapped and sun-scarred. The deep smile lines around his mouth and eyes were misnamed. He didn't seem to Jesse the type of man to smile at anything.
"Take it easy, Jim," Chief Forster said, playing the politician. "I'm sure Chief Stone meant no harm."
"That's right," Jesse said. "I wasn't cutting into anybody's work. They were having lunch, and I just wanted to ask a few questions." That got a rise out of Forster's right eyebrow.
"Questions? Questions about what?"
Garrison chimed in.
"Yeah, about what? My men got a right to eat in peace and get back to work."
The way Garrison said that last part was clearly a message to Roberto. Roberto received it loud and clear and walked away from the pickup. A few seconds later, the whine of leaf blowers and the roar of the mower broke the relative quiet of the street. Lunchtime was over.
"I caught one of Mr. Garrison's men breaking the law in Paradise last night," Jesse said above the din. "Well, that's between you and Miguel," Garrison said.
Jesse smiled.
"I didn't mention his name." "He didn't show up to work this morning, Stone. Don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out which one of my men you were talking about. Besides, I'm not responsible for my men after hours."
"Your men," Jesse said. "You keep saying your men. I wonder if I asked Brad to check on your men, how many of them would have green cards?" That did it. Garrison's red face turned a few shades brighter. Pushing past Forster, he got chest to chest with Jesse.
"Who the fuck do you think you are? You got no jurisdiction in this town."
Jesse ignored him, looking over Garrison's head at Chief Forster.
"Brad, your friend here is getting awfully close to getting himself in trouble, one way or the other." "What's that supposed to mean, one way or the other?"
Garrison said, his voice almost loud enough to drown out the lawn equipment. Jesse turned his head down and smiled at Garrison.
"Relax, relax," Chief Forster said, working his way between the two men. "I'm sure Chief Stone meant nothing by it, Jim. Now step back, please, and let me handle this. I'd hate to have to arrest you for assaulting a law enforcement officer. Jim, step back."
Garrison stepped back, and Chief Forster waved him farther away. Jesse was impressed. That was the most forceful thing he'd ever seen Forster do during his brief tenure in Swan Harbor. Now it was Jesse's turn.
"Look, Jesse, Jim's a hothead and an ass, but don't come into my town and threaten our local businessmen. What happened in Paradise, anyway, that was such a big deal that you had to come into town to bug these guys?"
Jesse reached into his back pocket, pulled out one of the flyers, and handed it to Forster. "Given what just happened in your town, I think you can understand my concern." Forster rubbed his smooth-shaven face.
"I see.
I caught one of Garrison's men papering cars in Paradise with those late last night. The guy said a man who reminded him of a soldier paid him to do the work. I was just asking the crew if they had seen the soldier, or if any of them had been approached by him." Forster looked over at Garrison, who was now far enough away to be out of earshot.
"You think Garrison's involved?" I don't know. You say he's a hothead, so maybe that's all his reaction is about.
Maybe. Chief Forrester didn't sound convinced.
Listen, let me do the asking after you split, and I shoo Garrison away. Garrison will be happy to see you go, and I'll call you later. Deal?
Uh-huh.
The guy I was speaking to was named Roberto, the oldest man in the crew.
Jesse pulled a photo out of his jacket pocket and handed it to Forrester.
Ask him if this was the soldier.
Forrester looked confused.
Wait a second. I recognize this guy. This is Randisi, Wildford's boyfriend. He's got a plastic arm, for Christ's sakes.
Doesn't hurt to eliminate suspects, Jesse said.
Humor me.
Jesse drove Suit's pickup away. As he did, he used the truck's mirrors to watch Chief Forrester herd Garrison back into his Escalade.